Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and you found Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call, friends, if you have a question or something you'd like to talk about. 844-322-2742 is the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Just want to say thank you to all the folks that were so kind in sending birthday greetings via email.
Hope you had a great one.
I did. I had a fantastic birthday. As we talked about last week, my wish was for people to buy Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, give it to somebody that they know that might need to know what the gospel is all about, either somebody that's lost and needs life or somebody, a believer who's struggling, who's frustrated with their Christian life, as I was and as we were and at some point in our lives, and finally found the way when we discovered that salvation and this Christian life is from start to finish by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, a couple of great emails that came in. Here's one that reads this: Bob, my wife Diane and I recently finished reading the book. For me, the last 3 chapters wowed me with an open mouth before the Lord the most. In particular, in Be Perfect as I Am Perfect, and the exalted truth of God being content in who He is in want of nothing, and His invitation for us as children to join Him in who and whose we are. Yeah. I thought that was great stuff.
It is. In fact, it is. Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, I love this. He said, the stench of confusion just dropped off me like an old snake skin.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my, that is fantastic. So, Richard and Diane, thanks for those wonderful words. And then Isha wrote this. He said, I'm a Hindu who believes in Jesus. I have purchased 3 copies of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I will keep 1 for myself and 2 copies I will keep in our office kitchen. And I'm hoping that God will bring the people He wants close to that area so God can decide who will benefit most in reading your book and bring them to get their copy. Thank you, and once again, have a wonderful birthday. Regards, Isha. And then our friend
Matt. You just never know, do you?
That's exactly right. And then our friend Max wrote this, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is my favorite resource to give to those I disciple. Currently, I'm using the book with 8. I am leading a Bible study. We like the simple yet profound way it conveys the truth. We can all identify with the examples and struggles presented in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Yeah. And that's our friend Max, and he is constantly reaching out and connecting people to the love of Christ Jesus. So thank you to Richard and Diane and Isha and Max for those wonderful emails and kind words. And thank you for buying a copy of the book and passing it out to somebody else. That's our sole desire here, is to get the Word of God into as many people's lives as we possibly can.
Right.
That Word about Jesus, that Word about His death, His burial, His resurrection, that grace of God that was given to us in Christ so that people can respond to Him in an attitude of faith. That's what it's all about. It is by grace through faith. And today we want to spend a few minutes talking about faith. And really, we're going to devote this entire week looking at what faith is all about, because I think this is the hardest aspect of the Christian life. It's the hardest aspect for us to really wrap our minds around and to actually live by faith on a day-to-day basis. I think so many times we reduce faith to law. You know, what does faith mean? Well, it equals obedience to the law. Well, that's not what the Word of God has to say. And that's how the world lives. They live in obedience to laws. We have a whole bunch of laws. It doesn't matter what country you live in. You have laws that you have to abide by. And so a lot of people reduce faith just to living by laws. And then some will say, well, maybe it's not laws. Maybe it's just rules, regulations, or principles. We need to live by principles. Well, you don't have to be a Christian to live by principles.
Right.
There are many principled people out there in the world who don't believe in Jesus Christ, who would, as a matter of fact, consider themselves atheist or agnostic. But they're principled in their way of living. So that can't be it. So what is this thing called faith? And it's the way we're supposed to live. It's the new way of life that we've been raised to walk in. So what is faith? Well, it has to be tied to God. Faith has no substance apart from an object. So the fact that Jesus Christ came, that he died, was buried, and was raised again, that's the reality that gives our faith substance and meaning. If it's not tied to Jesus, then faith is just a word. It's just an empty, hollow word.
Yeah.
But with Jesus, it gives it substance. It fills it out. It gives it meaning to us. Now, Abraham is the father of faith, and we read about him in Genesis, of course, starting in chapter 12 when God showed up in his life. And it's interesting, when God showed up in Abraham's life, he showed up bringing promises and blessings. So most of us, if we would think, oh, God's going to show up in our lives tomorrow, we'd be scared to death, because we wouldn't think God would be bringing promises and blessings. We would think he would be bringing judgment and condemnation and punishment. Why? Because that's what we deserve. We look inside of us. We look at what we think. We look at what we do. And when we connect that to God, when we bring God into that story, we think, oh my gosh, he's going to bring condemnation, judgment, and death or punishment for us. But no, that's not how God shows up. He shows up with promise and blessing. And that is made ever clear when we look at Christ, when we look at the life that he brings to us, the forgiveness that he brings to us, and the freedom that he brings to us. So those are the things that he brings to us. And our response to that is what's known as faith. We believe that those things are true. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And in verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11, we see exactly what Abraham believed about God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Now, Isaac was the son of promise, and Isaac was a blessing that God brought into Abraham and Sarah's life. They were beyond childbearing years, and yet God said, you will have a son. And so they believed God. They believed God on that promise, and God delivered. So their faith had already been exercised.
Yes.
And now God was saying to Abraham, you need to sacrifice Isaac. And I'm sure Abraham's thinking, well, wait a minute, God, what about the promise that through him, through my seed, the world is going to be blessed? What about that? Now, Abraham's faith is going to be exercised even more, and the limits of it are going to be expanded beyond anything that he ever imagined. So when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. So he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So what was the essence of Abraham's faith? Well, he saw God deliver on a promise. He said that through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And if God was going to have Abraham sacrifice his son, then obviously God was able to bring him back. That's what Abraham reasoned. And that's the essence of faith. We believe that God has power over death. Where did we see that? We saw it at the resurrection. So our faith is tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For faith to have substance, for faith to have meaning, it has to be tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Exactly what Abraham reasoned that God was able to do. And so he offered Isaac on the altar. Mm-hmm. He was ready to take his life in that firm conviction, that firm belief that God would bring him back to life. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that is the essence of faith. Mm-hmm. So do you really believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Now, if you don't believe God raised Jesus from the dead, then you're not going to believe that God can give you new life. And that's what you need. That's what we all needed. We needed life. We were dead spiritually. And Christ came that we might have life. He showed us how he can give us life through resurrection. If we don't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we're not going to believe that he can raise us from the dead and give us new life in him.
Absolutely. That is just such good news, and that's the news that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love for you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742 if you're hearing it during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour while you're hearing the live broadcast. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. And also keep in mind, friends, that it's your support that makes it possible for Basic Gospel to be here on the air and online to bring the good news to you every weekday. And as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we want to send you our new series, The Reformation Project, Five Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation, Truths Also That Ignite Reformation in the Human Heart. To request your copy, just send your gift to during the month of October to Basic Gospel. You can do that by clicking Donate at BasicGospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at BasicGospel.net. Well, guys, over the weekend, we had a call from an anonymous listener. Let's listen to that question right now.
How does one know for sure they're saved if they still sin or lose their temper and sin stuff in their life? Just kind of wondered. Thank you.
It's a great, great question, and love the directness of
yes.
that. And that's the issue, isn't it? We
yeah.
all still sin. I've yet to meet a Christian. I've yet to meet a believer that doesn't still sin, doesn't lose their temper, doesn't say things that they wish they hadn't said, that doesn't do things that go against what the Word of God lays out. We all still sin. So how can we know that our salvation is assured, that it's guaranteed? Well, the reason we can know is because it rests entirely upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's not on our shoulders. If it was up to us, I mean, even just 1% of our salvation was up to us, no one would be saved. Why? Because we couldn't keep our 1%. That's why it has to be on the shoulders of Jesus. So Jesus took away our sins, not some of them, but all of them. He died for every single one, and he forgave every single one. So there's a lot of sins that I've yet to commit that are going to be a part of my life in the future. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what is true? Jesus already died for each and every one of them. And when I received him, I received total forgiveness of sins, for past sins, for present sins, and for future sins. So Jesus has done the work as far as the sin issue is concerned. And then he has given me his Spirit to take up residence. And God's Spirit is never going to leave me nor depart from me. Mm-hmm. I know that to be
yep.
true. Now, that's where faith comes in, isn't it? I have to believe that. And believing that gives me the assurance that I need and the gratitude in my heart to say thank you. So if we're going to constantly look at our lives, our behavior, our thought process, we're going to live in constant doubt and fear. I yep. lived there for so many years of my life until I finally realized that Christ forgave all my sins and Christ came to live inside of me. When I realized that, that fear, that doubt, that guilt just lifted off my shoulders and has never been back. It's just never been back. Yeah, I've had moments where, you know, doubts kind of race through, but I'm anchored to the finished work of Jesus Christ. So how do we know we're saved? We look to Jesus. We look to what he's accomplished for us. His life is indestructible. He has given us his life. So we're guaranteed.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
And there's a great verse in John chapter 10. You've talked about this a couple of times.
Yes, I
the fact
there.
That we're that we're in God the Father's hands, we're in Jesus Christ's hands, and no one can snatch us out. That's
no
good
one.
News, isn't it?
Oh, man, yes. And when, you know, when he says the Father and I are one, okay, now who are you going to argue with?
Yes.
I mean, Jesus says no one can snatch you out of my hands, and you're going to say, oh, well, I can. That'd be like saying, I can put myself in your hand.
Right.
Both statements are completely illogical. If you belong to Jesus, you are safe.
Yes.
Safe. Absolutely, positively, no questions asked.
Yes. So the fourth promise of the new covenant, we're new covenant believers.
Yes.
That's kind of the covenant that rules our relationship with God the Father now. It's what really sets it up and everything. That fourth promise is this, that God remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. So here we're remembering all these sins, and we're getting fearful, and God is saying, I dealt with that 2,000 years ago, and I'm not going to deal with it again. It's done. It's over. The price has been paid. Now, let's get on with life. Let's get on with this new life that I've given you in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. It's baseball season, and when you say we're safe in Jesus, I just want to give the safe sign.
Yeah,
there we are. Yeah. Hey, friends, keep in mind that we're streaming live video Monday through Friday, and you can join us on either Facebook or YouTube, our channels on each of those entities. It's one more venue that God has given us to share the gospel, and we hope you'll take full advantage of it. Over the weekend also, guys, a question from Christine. Let's listen to that question right now.
Hi, my name's Christine, and I just first of all want to thank you so much for what you guys do and just speaking the truth and God's word. I just had a quick question in regards to just trying to witness to those that believe they're saved and don't have to do anything or no accountability and completely not carrying the Spirit of God in them. I'm just looking for trying to find some scripture that just is able to be able to witness to them and talk to them about it's important about who we are and how we live our lives daily. How do we reach out to them, or do we reach out to them? I'm completely confused. So if you don't mind, please answering that would be absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much again for all that you do.
Great
Bye.
Question.
Yeah, that is a great question. And to me, it gets back to a dialogue about the gospel itself. You know, what is the gospel? When we say that word, what does that mean? You know, and for so many people, it's simply forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
So Christ died for my sins, and that's as far as it gets. And so what that means is that God has given me some forgiveness and maybe a golden ticket to get me into heaven when I die. But in the meantime, I'm on my own. I have to figure this out on my own. And that's not what salvation is. Salvation is being made alive together with Christ. So we were dead. Yes, we were sinners in need of forgiveness, but we had a deeper problem, and that was the fact that we're dead and in need of life. And so when we get back to the basic gospel, to really having a conversation, a dialogue about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then a lot of these issues really take care of themselves. There are so many people that are so frustrated with their Christian lives. They're struggling. Why? Because it's on their shoulders. They're trying through human effort to be what they think God wants them to be. And eventually they just throw up their hands and say, I give up. I can't do this. And that may be the people that you're talking to, that they've just thrown up. They've just thrown their hands up. They've just given up and said, I can't do this. And so they're out kind of testing the world. So what do you do with those people? Well, the same thing that happened to me. Somebody told me about the gospel. Somebody told me that Christ came so that I could have life, and that when I received him, I was made alive together with Christ, and that changed everything for me. No longer was I trying through human effort to reach up to God. I just rested and said, Lord, thank you. Night and day difference. So have a good conversation about the gospel. That's where my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, comes in, because it really spells that out. So it may be as simple as just handing a copy of the book. And then once you realize that grace is tied to Jesus Christ and the fact that he's alive, living in you, then you can recognize that this grace in the person of Jesus Christ is going to continue to do his work in and through you. So we talked about Titus chapter 2 last week, the grace of God teaching us to say no to unrighteousness and yes to righteous living.
Yes.
And how the grace of God makes us eager to do good. So the grace of God isn't just a doorway that gets us into salvation. It's everything.
Yes.
It's the start, it's the middle, it's the end. So if somebody has been saved, Christ is alive living in them, Christ has promised that he is going to continue that work. He is going to conform them into the image of himself. So we just have to trust that. So I would start with salvation. What is salvation? Have a good conversation with the around that. Find out what they really believe. Ask them, what do you think the gospel is? What do you think it means to be saved? And I guarantee you, as you kind of discover what they believe, then you'll know exactly how to handle that. So don't assume just because they say they're a Christian that they really know what that means, because they probably don't. Like I didn't really know what that meant for so many years. So start right there, Christine, and I think you will have, I won't say great success, but you will have opportunity to really give the true message to people and leave the results of that into God's hands.
Yeah, this is about relationship. And if this is a person you know or people that you know and you're in a relationship with, you can have these conversations. If it's just somebody you see across the street, don't go in there with a hammer.
Right.
Go in with Jesus every time.
Well, let's quickly go to Louisville, Kentucky and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. Listening to all this, I kind of can't remember my question too well. Just something about, I heard a pastor once say, if you keep on putting off, asking the Lord into your heart, and then when you do it years later, it could be too late, because God knows when you're just trying to buy fire insurance or get fire insurance.
Well, Mary Jo, I mean, it's salvation is by grace through faith. It talks about that today is the day of salvation. If Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart today, right now is the moment to receive him.
Yeah.
So why? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But if somebody receives Christ, 5 minutes before they go to be with the Lord, they're going to be saved. They're going to be saved forever. So God knows what's in a person's heart. We don't have to worry about that. We'll let God figure all that stuff out. And in the meantime, we'll just rejoice if anybody says, I want to receive the Lord.
Absolutely. Mary Jo, good to hear from you as always. And friends, we need your help in order to help others hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And at Basic Gospel, we want to keep telling that story as often as we can to as many people as we can. And with the turmoil going on these days, well, silence is not an option. We need your help. And as our thanks for your October gift to Basic Gospel, we want to send you our DVD series called The Reformation Project by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. 5 truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation and ignite the Reformation and the human heart as well. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for another edition of Basic Gospel same time tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.